Hey friends, so glad you're here for line number 14. My diagnosis is my prognosis. Today I'm interviewing a very special guest and a dear friend of mine, Elisa Keaton. One of the questions that I love so much about this episode is she challenged us to ask ourselves, what is God's heart for? Now, this episode is for you if you have ever been diagnosed with anything health related, or there's something that somebody has spoke over you. I pray, and we both pray, that this podcast episode, this lie that we tend to believe, really challenges the way that you view and think about your diagnosis and what is going on in your body. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. So for those of you that might not know Elisa Keaton, let me give you just a little bit about who she is, because she goes more in depth in the interview itself. But to give you a snapshot, she's a wholehearted pursuer of God's love. She launched the ministry Revelation Wellness in 2011, and it's a nonprofit ministry that uses fitness as a tool to preach and spread the gospel. It's all about inviting participants to become whole and live well through various online events and in-person retreats. Elisa lives in Phoenix with her husband Simon and their two children, Zach and Sophia. And as a family, they are on mission to change the world with the kind and courageous love of God. So stay tuned to this episode. We're going to get right into it, and I can't wait to hear your feedback. Okay, let's go ahead. Elisa, I'm so glad you're here. So first of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jess. I'm super excited. I'm excited for your podcast. How does it feel to be a podcaster?
Oh, you know what? It's just kind of been this, I kind of hesitated at first, you know, but I feel like it has opened up so many things that I've wanted to talk about. That's a little bit harder to write about without voice articulation, hearing my heart. So it's kind of the extension of writing, I realized.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So would you say you're a writer more than a speaker?
I feel like I have become more of a speaker because of my writing. So yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You're definitely.
I feel like I write first and then I want to articulate it with words.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Oh, podcasting though, it's fun, especially when you do interviews, because you're really just being yourself and like things are coming out of you that you weren't expecting. Because you know, when you're writing, you're trying to construct something. You're trying to say something. But when you're podcasting, you're just kind of saying it.
Writing's more fun. Meditative. And I'm like, I used the total wrong tense of a verb. You know what I mean?
Like, that's my whole life. Whatever.
So for those of you not listening, Elisa and I want to keep wanting to say we go way back, but
way back.
It's like probably 3 years at least. If you know the Periscope days, that's when we found each other. And she kind of found me and I found her, and it was kind of going back. And ever since then, we've shared these stories. I mean, similar backgrounds, similar where our hearts are even now. She's definitely way ahead of me as far as like neuroscience and all that. I'm kind of a baby in that, but she's definitely, we're going to talk about that today, what quantum physics Jesus is. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny. We actually wore the same tank top today to work out in.
Yes, we did.
And we had interviews. We had an interview today, so I thought that was totally. But Elisa, share just a little bit about what you do, your heart, and your mission.
Yeah. So, well, I am a fitness teacher, gospel preacher. Never thought I'd ever put those two words together. No, really, I love fitness. Been in it for, I can't even believe it. But I mean, I've been in fitness since I was 14. I took my first aerobic class in 1985. Fell in love with it. Didn't know what happened, but I just knew I needed to do more of it. That really was a trajectory of just more fitness. Like, my parents would drop me off at like the gym because I couldn't drive. I was only 14. So they would drop me off and then pick me up. And I don't know, it was a nice outlet. And then I just never stopped. I did a lot of fitness through college, high school, college. My body responded to fitness. I think I have a lot of, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, right? So I didn't know the Enneagram back in 1985, but it makes sense now. As an 8, I have a lot of potentiality inside of me, a lot of like, if it's possible, then we got to do it kind of a thing. And so the body became really an exploratory thing. Well, I wonder if I could bench 95 pounds. I wonder if I could, you know, just kind of keep looking for the next challenge, because that's what an Enneagram 8 is. You're a challenger. So I grew physically. I don't think I grew very emotionally or mentally because of my childhood, but my body continued to kind of express and grow. I got into I got into fitness competitions. That was terrible, but I did it because I was good at it. I mean, I won stuff, but I hated it. I was so lost. My identity was so lost. I just didn't know who I was. And it wasn't until I was married 1 year with my husband where the wheels kind of came off of my marriage, and the brokenness was coming out all over me, because I thought marrying a man would heal me. I thought marriage would heal me. I thought all the things that just weren't happening. And that's where Jesus entered my life. And I began to hear the gospel, need the gospel, love Jesus, see all my clients in a different way. I could no longer see my clients as just people that wanted to lose a few pounds. Like, I actually saw their cravings more. I think the Lord gave me probably the gift of, I think I have that prophet tendency where I can see the problem before someone else maybe sees the problem. So that becomes burdensome, because an unhealthy prophet is the worst, because you carry the burdens of everyone and you feel like you have to do something. So the Lord has loved me through the years, and my design has not changed. I still love fitness, but the why, the really deeper why, what's the purpose? What are we doing with this? I just am on this ever-learning quest and journey to find out what He wants to do to bring health and healing to people's whole selves, heart, soul, mind, and strength. So yeah, Revelation Wellness was born in 2011. And I just knew I had to lead other leaders and create disciples who would take this same message as Fitness Teacher Gospel Preachers. And that's what we do.
Well, I have to say, one, the things that the Lord has done in you in just a short amount of time is, from what I've known you, amazing. Yeah. I just want to tell you all the time just that, you know, for those of you listening, you have, first of all, follow Lucy Keaton. I'll have everything in the show notes below. But to see how she's transformed and the message that you continue to share of going deeper. Okay, you know, first, we kind of talked a little bit about this recently of, it started with, how can we lose the weight, right? The ministry, it's like, let's lose weight, but we're going to add God. It's all about God's word. And then it was this, okay, now it's fitness is a tool to spread the gospel. And now fitness is like, we get that layer. We get that it's not about the fitness. And now it's like, now we're going deeper into quantum physics, Jesus. It's understanding more of the neuroscience, understanding the things of the spiritual realm and the physical realm.
Yes, and ma'am.
I think that's really where this, like, first of all, we've got to get into the Instagram story, but the live today is my prognosis is my diagnosis. And
yeah. My diagnosis is my prognosis.
Yes, reverse that. I was like trying to make sure I got it right. My diagnosis is my prognosis. Yeah. And the reason why this sparked me was, one, my own healing journey, which you knew much about. And I want us to not tolerate the symptoms. And before we started this podcast, I'd say what we tolerate, we live with. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging this tension of, we feel like we need to settle into it because we believe God gives a sickness or whatever it is. Can His glory be shined through it? Yes. Is He good? Yes. Does He always work it out? Yes. But sometimes I think we don't give enough credit to the enemy for what's happening. And I love the tension that the awareness that you were bringing to people of, let's challenge the pain in our bodies. Let's challenge the thoughts that we're thinking. And so tell us about this Instagram story and the arthritis in your knee and kind of the journey of really why this podcast is actually established here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was running one day, as I do some days. And I was, it was probably about, gosh, maybe 4 years ago now. I was diagnosed. I had like this cyst that would keep coming behind my left knee, like really big cysts. And it was just painful. I don't know what was going on. And I went to a doctor and they did some MRI scans. They said, yeah, you got pretty bad osteoarthritis, stage 4 osteoarthritis. And, you know, it's probably in both knees. And I was like, oh, and the minute they said the word arthritis, I just was like, well, of course, because my mom had arthritis. And so, and I work out and okay, so this just was bound to happen. That's just what I thought. And so I've lived the last 3 or 4 years with just, you know, awareness of it, praying about it, taking supplements, just being aware of it. And, but not obsessing about it, but aware of it. Like it'd come and go for anyone who has had that diagnosis. So the other day, probably about 3 months ago, I've been challenging my mindset. I've been fascinated by the mind and our reality of what we experience and what we architect in our brain, just this potentiality of our thoughts, this consciousness, for lack of another better word. But I think a lot of us too is, you know, we're in the wellness industry and there's a whole $1 trillion industry out there that is talking, teaching, preaching without anything doing with God. Without Yahweh, and they might talk about the universe or God of this or God of that, but I love Jesus. He has saved me. Like, I love Jesus, and I'm jealous for Jesus. I'm jealous for people to know Jesus, but yet I'm hearing all these other things of science and wellness that's happening. So I started to just kind of go, God, I want to learn. I want to know. I don't want to be afraid of these truths, but I also don't want to go so far. I'm not going to go far from you. Don't let me go far from you. Like, but I think in some ways as a culture of church or Christianity, we get really fearful and we shut ourselves down because we live like, well, you know, we have to do everything right by the book or we're going to hurt God or, you know, his reputation. And I just feel like we're afraid to step into realms that God owns. God is the God of wellness. God is the God of the universe. God is the God of consciousness. God is the God of mind. He created all things. So I want to go as far as you want me to go, God. Now, I'm clearly aware I'm not a neuroscientist. I will never be a neuroscientist. There's only so far that I feel I want to go or feel ready to go. But He was letting me go there because a lot of this is sickness. I see a lot of sickness around me. I see my mom had stage 4 cancer. I saw her walk through so much diagnosis that became a prognosis. And I just was like, I don't want to assume that I know God's will for everything. I don't. But I also want to always assume I know his heart. And his heart is good. And his heart is for healing, restoration, transformation, breakthrough. He tells us in Matthew 10 to go, to proclaim, to speak in new tongues and to lay our hands on the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead. It's like this really crazy thing. The more you read the gospel, it's crazy. It's insane. And you know, we kind of bypass the stuff that makes us uncomfortable. We just kind of go, oh, that was just kind of weird woo-woo Jesus. No, there's a whole reality of the kingdom that exists that we're afraid to even talk about because then we get put in some box of being too woo-woo or out there. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's still the 8 in me, right? Like I want to, if there's the big blue yonder, I want to go find out what's out there. I would be the Columbus of what's beyond that horizon. Is there something more we could know? Which is truly the definition of revelation. It's to know what you could never know is what God chooses to reveal to you. So I feel like he's been revealing to me that my body, there's more going on inside of me than just a diagnosis. So back to that Insta story, I was running one morning and I began to challenge my thoughts about this, diagnosis. Like, okay, I never challenged my thoughts. I mean, that was a big thing. I just assumed, oh, my mom has it. Okay. This was bound to happen. So I started to challenge my thoughts about it. And the more I began to do that and shift my reality around it, the more I noticed my pain went away. I just noticed like, the pain in my knees were not yelling at me all the time. I began to observe the pain without feeling like I had to fix it or be careful about it or, oh, you overdid it. Like I just started to kind of, and this is something that's very important about mind-body healing, is it requires us to be able to have spaciousness or kind of a distancing from the news or the bad news or the information, that you can be an observer of it and just kind of go, huh, okay, I'm curious about this. We don't latch on to the information and then take the diagnosis as the prognosis for our future. So I was just kind of sharing on that Insta story that as I started to challenge my beliefs around my pain, I noticed the pain started to go away. And there's actually some books out there. There's a doctor who wrote a book, Dr. Sarno, who was really big on this for back pain. People would come, you know, you hear people having back surgery all the time because of pain in their back. They go to this surgeon. Everyone just says, you're going to have back surgery. And he challenges that and says, most people, if you were to scan everyone's back, it's curved. Nobody has a perfect back. Nobody. But the doctors take a scan and go, oh, look, see, you've got this thing pinching here and this thing pinching here. They assume a physical thing and go, well, that's the problem. And then people get back surgery and find out it didn't help. Really what it was is this Dr. Sarno is saying it's a mind thing. You're focused so much on your pain and protecting yourself from the pain that it's actually becoming more pain, right? Because the thing you focus on grows. Yeah. And so I was reading a little bit of his book and just kind of challenging my own thoughts of my pain. And I noticed it was going away. So that's when I said, we just have got to challenge. A diagnosis is not a prognosis. Mm.
So good. I love it so much. It like gets my heart like going because I'm like, let's do this, church. Like let's awaken inside of us. Like let the power of like the supernatural power flow through us to believe that we can lay hands on the sick, that we can raise the like, and I love how you preface it of like, I don't pretend to know God's will, but I do know what his word says. And I will stand on that. Even if I can't see it, I will stand on the truth regardless. And that's really what hope is, right? It's not seeing it, it's believing it to be true.
Yes. Yes. I've told you, I've said this at every instructor training retreat. I've always said this about, I would rather get to heaven and have the Lord say to me, wow, you really believed every word. Like you really, if I said it, you did it. And I'm like, yeah, I'd rather him say that to me. Like you believe me for way more than I even asked you. I'd rather that be the thing than you didn't believe me. You stopped short of what was uncomfortable and fearful for you.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said too, the question you said, what is God's heart for? And this is what I know, he's for healing. I know he's for restoration. I know he's for redemption. And I think that we forget all too often, what's the enemy here for?
And that kill, steal, destroy. Kill, steal, destroy.
What does the diagnosis do? What does sickness do? Is that good or is it bad? It's bad. Nobody jumps for joy when they get a diagnosis.
Right. Right.
And that comes to what? It comes to kill us.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, there's this one story, and this began an evolution change for me. This woman's story still sticks with me to this day. I was doing one of the Rev on the Road event, and she came up to me and she told me, you know, I was a stage 4 cancer survivor. I was diagnosed on this day at this time. And when the doctor told me what I had, she said my response to him was, he told him the diagnosis, and then she said, well, do you know who I am? And he said, what? She goes, do you know who I am? And he just looked at her and she goes, I'm a daughter of the king. So this is good information, but I'm going to let him make the final decision. I believe I am healed and restored. Yep. I'm a daughter of the king. Like, I just thought that was the most, like, it literally brings tears to my eyes because I just want that to be the response of every adversity that comes my way, that we turn and face the bad news and say, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
That's authority and that's power and that's ability. And although it might not turn the way we had thought, because again, I don't know his will. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher, but I do know his heart is good. So he would, as a good father, he would protect me from this. So we have to be able to receive the information, but yet not take on an assignment as, or a diagnosis as, this is the prognosis of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Something I heard, with authority comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And
we often forget that we are also responsible with the authority that we have. And mm-hmm. that goes back to identity, of understanding our worth, that we can actually use the authority and stand up against the things that come against us.
Yes, yes. And I have to say, everyone, side note, this is what drives me crazy, are people who do not know God or care to know him, but are going after these healers and these people that are telling them, you need to clear your beliefs, you think no negative thoughts, get rid of all your friends who tell you negative thoughts. Like, they get serious about cleaning their environment, and this chemotherapy is healing me, and like, they change their mindset about their sickness and they heal. Not all of them, but there are these people that heal. And to me, I go, and I've had people say, well, explain that. Why is that happening? And I just go, that's God's common grace. Isn't God kind to heal her? She doesn't even know him. I'm glad I have a father that's good. That's how kind he is. He would heal even someone who refuses to honor him. I love that's my father. But for me and my house, I will hold that same line of, I will not partner with sickness and disease, and killing, stealing, and destroying is not what will happen in this body home. So God, come on in, make yourself at home. Let's pray, let's praise, let's worship, let's do whatever we have to do to maintain an atmosphere of shalom. And because that's my authority, I have that. That's what the punishment that was on him brought me, peace in my body home, my shalom, so I can have thoughts of heaven, feelings of heaven, and not have to partner with this sickness or disease.
Mm. Even what we're talking about now is coming from this place of already having it, from a place of trying to strive to get it. How do you feel about that? Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. That was me years ago. If you talk about change that has happened to me probably in the last, well, probably 4 years, it really has been. The Lord nailed me down. He flattened me out. He Elijah'd about probably, see, my daughter was 12. So 4 years ago. Yeah. I mean, I was striving for it. I had it figured out. Like, I had a plan. I thought I knew the Lord's will in all things. My heart was just, I had a battle walls around my heart, and the Lord just dropped me to where it had to cease. Like, it was no more. I had to know his heart for who he is, not for what he could give me, not for any other thing than he's a good father and I need to be fathered. That was truly it for me. And I know we have a similar childhood. I needed to be fathered. I needed to be mothered. I was an orphan running a multi national ministry, and it wasn't going to go any further. I was always wise enough to pray the prayer, Lord, don't give me anything my character can't hold or sustain. Anything I'm not ready for, don't give it to me. So 4 years ago, he flattened, and yeah, that I had to end this performing to get it and just receive it and believe and learn how to set my mind in a sober place where I set my hope fully on his grace.
Mm, that's good. And even going back to, you know, what you said, I would rather go down swinging and standing on truth and believing that field than like not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather come from that place of he's a good father and this is who he is.
Yeah.
And the unbelief in my heart of questioning, because that's what the enemy does, right?
Yeah.
When you start questioning God's truth, when we think about, did God say, he's actually quoting scripture, but he's distorting the scripture.
That's right.
And it's just like when Jesus was being tempted, the enemy repeated back to him scripture, but twisted just like one or two words.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where he gets us, in this questioning, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When I was healing, I remember when I switched and the healing really set place in my heart was when I stopped believing God was giving it to teach me a lesson and to punish me. Because I couldn't go to the Father for healing if I thought he was giving me the sickness.
That's good. Yeah.
And so when I switched from, oh, he wants me well,
Yeah.
Right? Because his it's all, when I say prosperity, I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm talking prosperity in relationships and prosperity in healing and like prosperity ever since the word, like he wants us well. And so when I switched it from, oh, he does want me well, it was like a whole, now I could start seeing that hope again. Now I could start reaching for things I couldn't reach for before.
Yeah, that's that you're a well woman fighting off sickness and disease. You're not a sick and diseased woman fighting for wellness.
Love that. It was the first time I heard that was from you. And then I heard it again from Graham Cook.
Graham Cook. Yeah. Graham Cook was the one that I originally heard it from. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the brain science. I love when you talk about quantum physics, Jesus. So for those people that don't know, you've never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what you mean by quantum.
Okay. This is fun. This is the fun one for me. I need to talk about it more often because this is where, you know, this is where all the weirdos raise your hand. Like if you've ever felt like an outcast, you don't get it. Like you're not fit for this world. It's because you're not fit for this world. You're not made for this world. So Jesus comes and he says, I've come to show the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom. I've come to show you the kingdom, which he truly literally did, right? He showed us, he exemplified it. He talked about it. He was showing us the heart of the Father, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me and we are one. You've seen God because you've seen me. Like he's trying to show us something. And then we see him healing and doing things that are like crazy, right? And that takes great faith for people to believe that's who Jesus is. And then he says to us, greater things than these will you do, right? He even tells us you're going to do even greater things. So I, a while back, just got really interested in a little bit of, I don't know, quantum physics just started showing up. I don't even know. The Lord just dropped it into my head. But I think neuroscience was starting to open the door a little bit about our brains and understanding. Again, there's such potentiality in a thought and like what happens. I mean, how many, I think it's 10,000 to the 10 millionth is the how many options your brain has right now to make connections. It's like endless possibilities of thoughts you can have and ideas or options or things that you're going to do. Like there's just such, it's incredible what we're learning about the brain. So I started to lean into that a little bit more. And one of the things we talked about, you learn about neuroscience is like consciousness. Like you have a conscious thought and we all have them all the time. And so I started leading a little bit into what's consciousness, like what's that about? And it took me into quantum physics. So quantum physics, let me just break it down to this. Quantum physics is the study of the unseen world. We have Newtonian physics, which is the study of the world you see. So Newton, which is where, you know, Sir Isaac Newton, when the apple falls from a tree, he sees something happen. He could see it. He could study it. And he wanted to know, what is that? So he was able to measure it and find out about gravity and mass, all these different things that we could measure. So we live in a world that's very measurable, which is really rough because that's how we learn life. We just are so inundated with the measurable stuff of life. This is why we learn how to control. We learn how to measure this. Well, you said this, so I'll say that. Like it feels, that's the world we know how to control. But in the early 20s, I think it was in the early 1900s, we realized that they split the atom in half, which then began to like weird things started happening. And it became the study of the unseen, because an atom to our own understanding, the atom was the smallest thing we could study and see, but then they split the atom. And then it went into this world of like, things get really weird in quantum physics when you can study. Now, they would study it with these crazy machines that would help the naked eye to see what was going on in quantum physics land. But in quantum physics, it's crazy. There's nothing that like, nothing makes sense. What's up is down, what's down is up. And it really says in quantum physics, there are no problems. It's only endless possibility and potential, which I thought, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is all about the unseen world, right? There's a world right now, the kingdom that's unseen, where anything is possible. And so I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds like home. That sounds like where I'm come from. Like, I think that's my unseen world. So I started leaning into quantum physics and learning a little bit more about it. And quantum physics is just really weird. It just gets really strange. But here's the thing, it makes sense. because Jesus says, greater things than these will you do. Jesus could walk on water because in quantum physics, that's possible. Stop and think, if you study quantum physics, you could really make that possible. You could walk on water. Jesus could walk through a wall in the upper room because in quantum physics, that could be possible. The unseen world unlocks all this potential and possibility. It comes from, if you ask the science people where the world comes from, like kind of the whole Big Bang. Now, again, they don't acknowledge God, but they will say, well, there was consciousness at the beginning, right? And you're like, well, what's that? Explain that. Well, to me, I'm like, that's God. God is and was. He is the consciousness. He is the essence of everything was in the beginning. And so then that takes me to Hebrews 11:1 that says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The faith world is this whole world of things that we don't see, but they exist. Verse 2, for by it people of old received their commendation. By faith, or consciousness, or God, who God is, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What is seen was not made out of visible things. So the seen things came from unseen things, this heart of God, this conscious of God. So I just became very aware that the kingdom is all about this open possibility, an endless opportunity. That's the kingdom. And that's why when we receive concrete news of a quote unquote diagnosis or something that's measurable, you know, my blood pressure's high or my blood sugar's low, whatever. Okay, great, good information. Thank you for that information of this world. Now let me go to my Father, because do you know who I am? Right back to, you don't know who I am. Let me go talk and let me get into the unseen world. What's going on there, God? And he would say to us as a father, endless opportunities and possibilities. What do you want to make of this? What do you want to make of it? And that's why in Mark 11:24, he tells us, I mean, this is what's crazy too. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. But whatever you ask in prayer, just believe you've already received it. It goes back to this faith in the unseen world that it's already there for me. So really, I need to just say, thank you, God. It's already there. Because whatever I would pray for, whatever I ask for, if I believed I received it, I would already be saying thank you. I wouldn't even need to be saying, oh God, would you please heal me? Oh God, would you please, 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 please. Like, oh, please. Like, I feel like that's a posture that we need to heal in our hearts, is this like begging posture.
Yeah.
And more of a, Father, I trust you. Thank you for what you're doing in me right now, even this cancer. Thank you for whatever it is. Just thank you that you're God over all of this. And I thank you for my healing. And however you bring it, I'm ready to receive it in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. I'm like scrambling behind the scenes. I'm like, okay, there's when you said the unseen world and you were talking about endless possibilities earlier, I had wrote down where there's a problem, he always provides provision.
Amen.
So it's kind of, even if there's something about, and you know, when he says in scripture, I can't remember what it is, but we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. So he says everything, we already have everything pertaining to life and godliness. And so it's, we become more aware of them through revelation. Right? And so we see that even throughout scripture, the writers receiving new revelation upon somebody else's revelation.
That's right. Glory to glory.
And they're writing about it. And so that was, loved it so much. And I love that when you had said, brought that scripture, because that was something else that scripture I had meditated on, about believing you have received when you prayed, believing that it's already been taken care of.
Yes.
Instead of coming from this beggar's, like, God, please, please, please do this. And it's almost like if we don't believe that he's good. And so we go through that. I'll just be good. I won't, you know how we bargain. I'll do this right, and I'll be nice and I'll be kind. And, you know, if you just do this and.
Oh yeah. I call it spiritual gymnastics. Like, let me take another pass. That wasn't a 10. Okay. Let me try again. Or like God's a combination that I've got to try and figure out the right prayer in the right way, and then I'll unlock the blessing instead of, no, I've already received it.
Yeah.
When it's coming, I don't know.
And something about like our words, and this is a little off topic, when you talked about blessing, even our words, you know, we're not blessed because somebody has more, somebody has less. And this completely changed me one time was, we'll often say things like, well, I'm really blessed because, you know, people in third world countries don't have as much as I do. Or, you know, it's kind of like, I'm sick today, but it could be worse because I know somebody else has cancer.
Yeah, that means someone else has to be miserable so I can be happy.
Yes. And when we can begin to understand that those words, like, you're not blessed because you're better than somebody, because there's somebody that's going to be quote unquote better than you. You're blessed because you're blessed.
Amen. It's favor. Unfair advantage over all the systems of the world. We have favor, period. We have this unfair advantage, not because of where we live or the money we received or the luck of grace that we've had. Nope, we're favored. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
And it's okay. Like, we disregard, and this goes back to feelings. And I love what you always say, bad news gets stuck inside good bodies. Mm-hmm. Is we disregard how we feel because we don't want to feel what we feel because we know somebody else might be feeling worse than us. And so we disregard our feelings because, well, it could be worse. So I need to just suck it up, buttercup, put a fake on it, and just move on. And you see that. I know you probably see
that too. And honestly, that would be like a first thing. Like, we can't heal our soul. Like, you have not allowed yourself to feel what you need to feel. Like, that's the tenderness and the kindness and the compassion of God. He's a father who says, sit down, tell me everything.
Yeah.
Tell me everything, because it's too much for you to carry. Mm. It's too much for you to know. It's too much. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, it says in the Bible that their eyes were opened. And I think it makes me cry, because it opened our eyes to too much. We were never meant to know this much, to experience this much, to see this much, right? It's like when you take a kid to a movie theater and there's something, a trailer comes on, and it's too, you cover their eyes. Like, no, this is going to mar your innocence if I let you see this. But we've seen it. And now we tend to believe what we see, right? We believe what we see. We believe what we hear. We put too much faith in this concrete, Newtonian, measurable world, not realizing in the unseen world, the Lord is covering our eyes, covering us in his shield, and saying, I've got it. You take a nap, you rest, you go for a walk, you take whatever it is you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a society that says, what I feel is who I am, and that kind of goes into just that space of what I feel isn't who I am, but that's how we instantly create truth in our lives, because we don't know God's word. And so we begin to rationalize the truth in our own life because of our experiences.
Yes, ma'am. And then we build a gospel that makes sense of our experiences.
Yes. And then I keep going back to, there are things that are measurably more than we could ever understand.
Come on.
We are trying to make sense of it all. And there are a couple of scriptures. So one, when you're talking about this one of 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Mm. And it says, be imitators. So that's where we have to start asking ourselves and telling ourselves, what is his character then? If it says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, what is Jesus doing? What is he imitating that we should also be imitating?
Amen.
Right? We kind of go deeper, and there's one more. And this is the one I shared recently, and it's been rocking my world. And it's the Message Bible. And Romans 8:29-30, but I'm going to do the highlights. It says, he decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original intended shape of our lives there in him. Our original design is in him.
Yes.
And so we see the intended shape of who we are, our identity in Jesus, in his son. And so that has to rock our world. Like, that's where I keep meditating on that, because I'm like, who is Jesus?
Yeah. Read the Gospels. I mean, yes, read the Bible in its entirety, but if you're needing to know who you are and what you're made for, what your design and what your nature is, just open something in the Gospels and ask the Holy Spirit for a greater revelation of who Jesus is, because it's who you are.
Yeah. And so it's like, we have healing. That's like, he is,
amen.
He was the word. The word is the word is now in us.
Yeah.
You know, he was the word. Then we have a spirit. Now the word is in us. And so he's with us. Right. And so I just, it gets me fired up when my fear starts to take over or something comes in. I go, no, what is my original design? And you always say this, what is my original design?
Mm-hmm.
And every day we get to become more like him. And that's our goal. Then healing happens in our emotional and physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because our bodies follow what our minds think.
Absolutely. 100%. And we all have to remember, like, all of this is, he's good no matter what. He's good. He's good if he heals me here. He's good if he completes me there. He's good. I don't know. And there's, we're not made for this world. This goes back to, you know, I just think we're going to get to heaven and be like, my Lord, why did I hold on to so much there? Like this, we just made it so much about this earthly, what can I hold on to? What can I grab to? My body, my abs, my strength, my diet, my, you know, all this, like, really? Such wasted energy.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more to be found and more fun in the kingdom than to live such an earthly existence. And, you know, we are going to die. So yes, we believe in healing. We pray for healing. We believe in keeping your mind. Really, it's chasing out that fear. Because even if you got a diagnosis of whatever it is, fear is what will like permeate and cause such a suppression of pain and in a way that it's sneaky. It's kind of like a gas, toxic gas kind of leaking in is fear. So we just have to recognize when you're fearing, and then perfect love casts out fear. Yeah. So we continue to grow. You know, my mom passed away of ovarian cancer almost a year and a half ago. And we prayed. We prayed for healing. I prayed for healing. I was like platoon 20, had been platoon 20 that they, I mean, she came up to retreat and we just all got around her and we just prayed and believed for so much healing. Now, two things I will say. My mom could not have she didn't have the soul strength to make decisions, right? Because, like, you have to participate. Like, she didn't change her diet. She had unforgiveness. She was just kind of a walking wounded for the cancer is going to keep growing because the soul was aching so much that I knew in a way, like, I think she's going to be healed in heaven. Like this world has just been too much for her. But it's holy when we are in that place of sickness, but knowing that we have a hope, a living hope in God. So I don't know. I just kind of go, you know, I felt the Lord says, Lisa, you're here to stop unnecessary pain. You're here to stop it. Like there is unnecessary pain we carry around. We think about our sickness, you know, we're constantly consumed because there will be pain in this world, right? There will be trouble in this world, but the unnecessary kind, the kind where the enemy just comes in and drops a little stink bomb on our door. And then we just, you know, end up making potpourri out of it and fluffing pillows for it to stay around. No, we have to exercise our authority and step into the unseen world where God wants to give us good things and we can ask and believe we received it. And continue to walk that out. Because if the rest of the world, we see other people getting healing that are not glorifying God, this is where I'm like, come on, church. Think about how many healings we could see in our own life. And we see this happening. Our sugar fast, that 21-day sugar fast, when people took a break from sugar, a known thing that's caused inflammation, we know so much about it, brain fog, like all these things, they put it on the shelf for 21 days, and we saw incredible testimonies of people being healed of their chronic pain, these sicknesses, like things that they're like, I have gone to doctors for years, my psoriasis gone, my whatever, like gone. And I just thought, isn't that, there it is, everyone. God is not, he's not complicated. It's just these simple, like he cares for us like children. Hey, don't eat that. Eat a little bit more of this. Partner with me. Walk with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, but there is work to be done.
Yeah. No, I love your honesty in that. Even when you were talking about your mom and sharing her heart of, you knew where her heart was, and that gives us that responsibility in our own life of, where's my heart? What am I believing on? Am I willing? And it's not to condemn anybody. It's to say, like, we also have to partner with God. We can't just take away this knee pain, but I'm going to sit on the couch for you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We also have that responsibility. But I wrote down, we're redeemed from our curses, but not from persecution.
And amen.
That
amen.
Kind of along, you know, with what you're saying is we are redeemed from the curses, but persecution
right.
still comes.
Amen. That's good.
And talking about the means of healing is so important because it's not, I believe we're healed, but there are means of healing, food, movement.
Yeah. Yes.
Emotional, yes. spiritual.
Yes. Social. Yeah. 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 All of it. Yeah. You don't get to just hide out in your little prayer cave. You got to come out and actually yes. take steps.
Yeah. That's not funny, but I know some people just, they're like, I'm just going to stay and pray here. And then that's what I'm called to do. And we're actually called to go out, not mm-hmm. to stay in our prayer mm-hmm. call. We're actually to
that's right.
spread the gospel and mm-hmm. those things. So Alisa, it was so much fun.
I had so much fun.
I have one more question.
Okay.
What truth are you standing on today? It's a question I ask every guest. So I want to know what truth, or is there a lie that the enemy keeps trying to throw at you and you're like, nope, I'm standing on this truth.
Oh, the Lord, the truth I'm standing on is that God's love for me is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. I'm just basking in how much he loves me and how kind his heart is towards me. And he's not in a rush, and I don't need to be either. So yeah, that's kind of my word for 2020 is kindness. I'm going to grow as an oak tree planted in the soil of kindness.
That's good. Well, Alisa, thank you so much for being here, and those listening, all the show notes to find Alisa and key takeaways from today will also be there. So thank you again, Alisa, for hanging out with me today.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Jess.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life, and recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go ahead and grab your copy of my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, today, so we continue this conversation together.